Exodus chapter number 17, I want to deal with a very familiar passage of scripture. It's about 11:30. I'm going to try to not keep you long. I know that's the famous sayings of every preacher. They're not going to keep you long. And then yet you're like, hey, they forgot. They've already lied. So they've done forgot about that. But I don't know a lot of preachers that get up in the morning thinking, hey, we're going to keep them a long time today. It's going to be great. But sometimes, you know, when you enjoy doing something and you are doing that thing that you love to do, that is in yourself, that the Bible says, Brother Kevin and Jeremiah, it's a fire that is in your bones. And once you get to doing it and you study and you prepare, and sometimes you lose track of time. And so you pray for us this morning. Hopefully we want to help you and get something out of God's word this morning. Exodus chapter number 17. Exodus chapter number 17. We're going to start reading in verse number 9. I've just got three little simple things this morning I want to get out of this text. And the Lord hath to bless us, and I want him to do everything. You know, if God wants us to preach 5 minutes, then we're going to preach 5 minutes. He wants us to preach 50 minutes, and it's going to be in God's time. So I want to try to help you. And I want to start reading verse number 9, where it says this, And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men, and go out and fight Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill, so with a rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. And Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Let's ask God to bless his word this morning. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for saving us. Lord, I thank you for letting us be able to come to your house again this morning. God, I'm asking you to help us this morning to be able to do exactly what you wanted us to do and to say exactly what you want us to say. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for all that you do for us this morning. In your name we ask it. Amen and amen. Now, here in the book of Exodus, very familiar part of scripture that the Word of God is speaking to us. And many of us know about it. It's the time where God is bringing his people out of the land of Egypt. And the name of the book basically means the whole theme of the book is the exiting out of the land of Egypt. Now, I enjoy looking at the exiting part of Egypt because it reminds me of the time. If you go to Exodus chapter number 12, where it talks about them putting the blood on the top of the doors and on the sides of the doors, it pictures that us as Christians, as us that are saved by the grace of God, had been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I am thankful this morning that not only are we here in church this morning, but if you are saved by the grace of God, God has washed your sins away. Now, that gives us something to be excited about this morning, that you and I as Christians, as people of God this morning that have been saved by the grace of God, that we are already seated in heavenly places. And that you and I, when God looks down at us, Brother Kevin, guess what he sees? He sees the blood of Christ. And he says that, well done, because on the cross, God said it was finished and our sins were taken care of. That's something to be excited about, that we have the blood. But then as they were exiting out of the land of Egypt, the children of Israel have came to a time that they come to the Red Sea. Now, they have just been redeemed. They come to the Red Sea. The Red Sea is there, and then they get disgruntled. Doesn't that sound like a bunch of Baptists sometimes? They get disgruntled, and they say, hey, what in the world did you bring us out here? And Moses goes to God, and guess what God does? Brother David, he picks up the rod, and God splits the Red Sea open, and they walk over on dry ground. Now, they get out into the wilderness, and yet instead of trusting God to do what they want, to do what God was going to do for them, they begin to tell each other and get mad at each other again and say, God has brought us out here to starve. Then what does God do for them? He sends manna from heaven, and it falls down every day. Can you imagine that? That every day that you're out in the wilderness, that you're out there doing what God has wanted you to do, you've left Egypt, you've crossed the Red Sea, and every morning you wake up, you go gather your food, and then that's all that you need for that day, and then the next day, the same food comes again. Wouldn't that be wonderful? That would be good for us today. But here, they were fed by the very God in heaven. Now we come to Exodus chapter number 17. In Exodus chapter number 17, the Bible says that they said, we're hungry, and God fed them. Now they're saying, we're thirsty, and God is fixing to bring them water out of Moses and out of the rock. Now I want you to catch these words, and this is amazing to me. In the book of Exodus chapter number 17, it says this. Look in the last part of verse number 7. They have already seen God part the Red Sea. They've already seen God bring them out of Egypt. They've already seen that there's food falling down from heaven. And this is their question. Is the Lord among us or not? How crazy is that? That he has done all these things for them. He is bringing food that is just literally falling out of the sky. They are eating it. They are thirsty, and now they are wondering how God can provide for them. And they even ask the question, is even the Lord among us or not? How guilty are we sometimes when we look at our lives and we say, hey, God has done all these things for us. He's given you a nice car to drive. He's given you a house to stay in. He's given you a family that is here in the house of God with you this morning. And if they're not, then he's given you the ability to come to the house of God. And yet we sometimes question the same God that has given us all the things that we have this morning. Isn't it amazing that sometimes we are questioning God and we forget about the things that God has already given to us? Or we forget that 10 years ago God provided for our need, and why in the world is he not powerful enough to provide of our need today? Can I tell you, the same God that was 10 years ago is the same God today, and he can do the things that he did 10 years ago. He can still do them today. It doesn't matter who the president is. It doesn't matter what the government does. I'm serve a God that never shall leave you nor forsake you. And how wonderful that is. Now they ask the question, is the Lord among us or not? What an amazing thing. I was just amazed that they questioned God so many times and God did so much for them, and how guilty we are. Now, this morning, I don't want to deal with anything of those. I want to deal with the verses that we talked about this morning, that we read in the hearing this morning. I want us to deal with three different services in this text, three different services. Now, in our service of God, I don't know about you, but this morning, I want to give 100, Brother Hub, I want to give 110% to the service that God has given me to do. Now, as growing, we all grow, we get more mature day by day, we get more in the Word of God, or we should day by day. And as I'm looking at these texts, at these verses, I see three ways to embed our service for God. I don't know about you, but I want to be better next week than I am this week. Amen. I want to be closer to God next week, more closer to God next week than I even am today. Now, I see three characters, literally four, but I want us to deal with three this morning. I see three characters that have been brought out into my mind that I want to do this very quickly. Number one, I see the Joshua. And I see the service that Joshua had. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down, that Joshua, Brother Trevor, had a ministry of fearlessness. Now, here they come, Brother Kevin, they are going out and they are fighting against these people. These people, if you go back and study them, have been against God's people since day one. And once they saw them cross the Red Sea, they saw them and they said, hey, we are going to go after them. The Bible doesn't clearly say this, but as history teaches, is that they were beginning to attack them from behind. And Moses was realizing this, Brother Nix, and as he was realizing this, he told Joshua, the first time we see Joshua here in the Word of God as his name is mentioned, and he was told, I want you to choose out some men, and I want you to go out and fight. Now, this morning, we need some people, some women, some men, some young people, some teenagers, some people that are saved by the grace of God to stand up and to fight the wickedness of this world. We've got enough people setting down and taking steps back. Brother Carver, we need some people to stand up and say, I want to go and I want to fight in the battle. Now, they chose some men. So I see there are some men that were ready to fight. They were ready to go. They were ready. Now, I don't know about you. Let's imagine the story. They're leaving Egypt. I'm sure Pharaoh did not give them weapons to fight battles with. Now, he could have if he was like our government. But he didn't, I believe. Y'all catch that when you get home. But here's the thing. He said, now, I'm not going to give you weapons where you can come back and fight. They just let them go in the wilderness with nothing. So now here they go out. They have nothing to fight with. And they begin to say, we're going to have to go fight these people. They're fixing to attack us. Now, I see they don't have any weapons. And God takes these people that have nothing. Can you imagine Brother Kevin, Brother Nix? They come out. They get pieces of wood, maybe pieces of rock. They're tying them together. They're making bows and arrows. They're doing everything that they can. And they're scrapping things together just to be able to fight against these people. Now, these people probably had already people that were trained in warfare. They had people that were trained to destroy, people that were trained to fight. But yet God used the people that didn't have the greatest tools, that didn't have the greatest equipment, and God took their little effort that you might say that was little to other people. God took their little as much when God is in it. So God took what they had and he used what they had to fight the battle. Hallelujah right there. I'm thankful that you don't have to be rich to fight in the battle. I'm thankful you don't have to have some kind of special talent or be some kind of great person that is mighty or some kind of great person that can do something for God. But God can take what he has given you and use it to do what God wants you to do. Isn't that a great thing? God can use you and God can use me. Now, if I titled this message, I would title it, You Are Important in the House of God. You are important in the house of God. There are people that we would think, I don't have anything to give to the Lord this morning. I can't sing. I can't preach. I can't do this. I can't do that. But Brother Hub, God can take us in our weak and feeble matters, in our weak ways that we think we can't do anything for God. I can't speak to people. I can't do this. I can't do that. And God can use you in spite of yourself. Isn't that a great thing? Because if I had to count on my character and my abilities to do anything, I might as well go to the house and close the Bible up and call it a day. But can I tell you, when I give myself and you give yourself to God and say, God, use me, then God can use you in the battle to do something for God. So they fought in the battle. They were ready. They had courage to fight in the battle. They weren't someone that was just scared. They were ready to go. Now, I don't see any waiting in here. I don't see next week they went and fought. Now, I could see maybe they went the next day, but they were ready to go. They had the courage to be able to fight. They had the ministry of fearlessness. They were ready to go and to stand against the wiles of the devil. They were ready to go and stand against those that were going to hurt the church and hurt their people. There are going to be times that you're going to have to stand, that I'm going to have to stand against the devil that's trying to get in our families. There's going to be the devil and his demons that are going to try to get in your family to break it up and to corrupt it. But then there's going to be times we're going to have to stand against the wiles of the devil going in the church house. Amen. We're going to have to stand. We're going to have the ministry of fearlessness. Joshua's service, number two. We see a man by the name of Moses. Moses was coming, and the Bible says he told Joshua to go up And he said, tomorrow I'm going to be standing on top of a hill. Now, at this time, when Moses was called, he wasn't a young feller, okay? He wasn't someone that he was ready to go. He was ready to go, but he wasn't young. Now, this time, as time and years has passed, he has gotten older and older. Now, he is not just the one. There are different places for each and every one of us to serve. There are places for you to serve that you're going to have to stand in the battle. Every one of us is going to have to stand. But there are also going to have to be people like Moses that are going to stand on the top of the mountain, and they are going to fight a spiritual warfare on top of the mountain for those that are fighting in the battle. Now, I want us to get this. I don't want to get ahead of myself. I want us to see this as the ministry of fellowship. That when Moses lifted up his hands, what happened? They prevailed. And when he let down his hands, what happened? They begin to lose the battle. So as he was lifting up his hands, he had to first get up a hill. There are some here that coming to the house of God this morning was a hard task. It was cold. Your body was hurting. You said, wouldn't it be easier for me to sit in the house of God, sit here in my house instead of going to the house of God? And many of us had that thoughts this morning. Many of you older people just literally are hurting and in your bones and everything. We understand that. A lot of young people are hurting too. But can I tell you this? Is that keep on serving God and keep on doing the best that you can, because there are people that are down in the valley that are looking up and they're seeing Moses lifting up his hands and they're saying, I see my man of God up there. I see the elderly people up there, and I want to keep fighting to keep going and keep going because they haven't quit. Now, as they were fighting in the valley, Brother Nick, they're fighting in the valley. I wonder while they were fighting, Brother Mike, they looked up and they saw the rod, that same rod that hit the rock and the water came out, the same rod that Moses threw down on the floor and turned into a snake, the same rod that God used to part the Red Sea. And they saw this. The Bible says in the verses down in it, it begins to talk about a name of Jehovah, and that name means the Lord is my banner. Now, this is good stuff. Y'all going to like this. I believe you will anyways. It's going to be good. Now, as Moses was lifting up the rod, Brother Ricky, the Bible says that God said this was like lifting up the banner. Now, every time your preacher gets up, Brother Tim, Dad gets up and preaches, guess what he is doing? He is holding up the banner of the gospel. Now, this is something that everybody can do. There are preachers that do it. I'm thankful that there was some men of God in my life that held up the banner, that I saw it and I said, I want to keep on doing what they're doing because I see they're holding up the banner. But can I tell you, each and every one of us can hold the banner of God up as the gospel and tell people that Jesus saves, and that you can be saved by the grace of God. He held up the banner. The banner that we're holding up today is something that the world looks down at. The banner that we're holding up today is something the Bible says that the preaching of the cross unto them that perisheth, to them is foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. We're holding up something, and that is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. How good that is, that we can keep doing that. Now, as I see Moses is holding up the banner, something happens to him. He gets tired while he's holding up the banner. There are people in this room this morning, I would dare to say, that you've been trying to hold up the banner as good as you think that you can. There are preachers that are going to their pulpit this morning and saying, this is the last time I'll ever preach again. Because this is the reason, is because this thing of Christianity is not just easy. It is something that is very hard. This morning, I have no sad story to tell. I'm 23 years old. I know you're going to think I don't know much, and I don't. But can I tell you that there are a spiritual warfare that is going on the inside of every person that is preaching the word of God, every person that is holding up the banner as far as missionaries, as far as people that are giving the gospel out. And there's a spiritual warfare that is weakening them down. You say, now, Brother McCulley, holding up your hands is not that hard, but once you do it for so long, it gets harder and harder and harder. Can I tell you, I wish I could tell you, most people that have preached the message, they understand once I get done, when I pastored, I preached Sunday morning, did Sunday school Sunday morning and Sunday night. And you can ask Candace, when I went to the house, I was good for nothing. I laid down and I was out of it. There was nothing. Candace would talk to me. She's like, what in the world are you doing? And why are you tired? All you did was preach. But can I tell you that there is a emotional, spiritual thing that is going on right now that many people say that preaching a message is like working an 8-hour day. That it takes such a strain on thinking, on using yourself and trying to do what God wants you to do. But on top of that, every day, your pastor is praying for you. He is going before the Lord every day on your behalf. And when you're hurting, guess who else is hurting? He's hurting. When you're going through rough times, guess what's going on? He's going through rough times. When you're doing something that maybe you should not do, he's praying that you see and get right with the Lord. Can I tell you that spiritual warfare, there are pastors that quit day on day and day out and day in because there is a warfare and they say, we can't do it anymore. Because of the stress that is on the man of God. So we see this, the ministry of fellowship, that the man of God was lifting up the banner for the people. And if he didn't lift up the banner, they begin to lose. But if he did, they begin to win. There are some people here that say, Brother McCulley, I can't fight anymore. There are people this morning that say, I can't teach a Sunday school lesson anymore. Can I tell you, there is something that you can do, and that is have communion with God for our behalf. And when you are praying for us, you're doing just as much as when you were fighting, doing something for the Lord. Number three, we see, number one, the ministry of fearlessness. They had courage. Number two, the ministry of fellowship. That they had communion. Moses had communion with God. But I want us to deal with number three. This is the ministry of Hur. Hur, we see that he had a ministry of faithfulness. I want us to see this. Hur was coming. Now, can you imagine? Hur is probably getting up in age. He is Moses' brother-in-law. And here he is, Brother David. He is going and he is probably just staying back. He's not being chosen to fight and he's hanging out with Moses. It's always good to hang out with people that are spiritual because you learn a lot from them. You want to learn something, go hang out with older people because they know a lot more than you do. Amen. And I remember, imagine with me just for a second. He says now, he sees Hur and Aaron. These are the big dogs. Moses, he's the leader. Aaron, he's the high priest, and Hur, he's just over here by himself. Now he says this, he says, hey, Moses, I hear that you're going on top of the mountain. Can I tag along with you? And I wonder, Moses said, yeah, come on, Hur, we'll have a good time. And as Moses is going up, and as they are getting up to the top of the mountain, we see that Hur was a ministry of faithfulness because he was looking for some way to be used. He didn't care if it was a glamorous thing. He didn't care if it was a mighty thing that became onto the projector or put on the sign. He just wanted to be used to help others hang on and to show the banner of the Lord Jesus Christ. This was a ministry that was out in the heat. This was a ministry that nobody else really thought much about. When you look at the story, everybody says, well, Moses won the battle for them. Can I tell you, it wasn't just Moses. It wasn't just Joshua. It wasn't just her by themselves, but it was God's people working together and God blessing their work to do something for His will and for His good, for His glory. Her was being used in a way that he didn't even know he was going to be used in. He was going up there just to follow along, but yet God chose to use him in spite of himself. Now, when his preacher got tired, guess who was there? Her. When his preacher got weary, guess who was there? When he got tired, guess who put a rock underneath him? You know, sometimes there are going to be times that your preacher or that somebody in the church gets a little bit weary. Guess what the church is here for? To help others be encouraged. When people get a little bit weary, Brother Kevin, I'm supposed to come up and say, hey, I've been praying for you, Brother Kevin. And I put a rock underneath them to set and say, hey, it might be a rough time right now, but just keep on going because things are going to get better. Amen. Things are going to get better. There's sometimes that it's good just to tell the preacher, you did a good job today. Not to lift him up, but to encourage him. Sometimes it's good to tell the choir, to tell Brother Mike, y'all did a good job. The choir did a great job today. Not because you're lifting them up, but you're encouraging them to do something for God. I tell the teenagers sometimes in Jacksonville, I tell them, you know what? If you can't do anything else, everybody in here has a hand, and everybody else can shake, and you can say, good to see you in the house of God this morning. If that's your ministry, guess what? You're not doing your ministry in vain. You're doing exactly what God wants you to do. I've got a few minutes. I believe in our day we have taught a philosophy, that we have believed a philosophy that, well, I just come and sit. I don't really do anything, and so for when a time comes for when you can miss, you say, well, they're not going to miss me anyways because I don't sing in the choir or I don't teach a Sunday school lesson or I don't help in children's church. Can I tell you, you being here is a ministry. Because when I came in the house of God, guess what I saw? I saw a church house that is almost filled this morning. You know what that did for me? It encouraged me. When the choir gets up and they see you singing, sitting out there singing along with them, guess what happens? That encourages them. Never think, well, I just come and sit there. I just come and do nothing. Can I tell you, you are serving God by coming to the house of God and being committed to just come. When I pastored in Chatsworth, we didn't have many people at first. There were several Wednesday nights I preached to one person. And so there were some times that I don't think we ever had a service. Nobody came. I always had one. You know, somebody wanted to come, at least one person. And so when we finally got about 10 to 20, 30 people coming, I would teach the people. I said, now, men, ladies, let's all get down the front and we'll wait for people and shake their hands when they come in. It was probably the scariest thing in the world, Brother Stacy, to see 30 rednecks from Chatsworth waiting for you when you come out of your car. We were ready just to knock you over, okay? We were just going to make you feel so welcome, and they probably didn't even want to come back. They're like, these people are crazy. But I remember this is what happened. We would watch cars come down the road, and they would trick us every time. It had to be the devil. They would put their blinker on and just keep on, keep on, keep on. And we think, hey, they're coming to church, and no, they wouldn't. And we would sit there and we would be encouraged by the people that did come. We would invite somebody, Brother Kevin, and then we'd see their car coming down the road. And you know what that did for this preacher? It might not have been nothing to them. They were just coming to church, but us as a church, we were excited that there was visitors coming to the house of God. We were excited that we could help somebody, encourage somebody. But yet while we were encouraging them, they were encouraging us. Can I tell you, that's what the church is for, is to lift each other up, that we can encourage others and that yet they can encourage us. Isn't that a great thing? Sometimes I just need to be encouraged. We all get depressed. We all get sad. We all feel like it's about time for us to give it up and lay in the towel and say, oh, well, we're done. Can I tell you, just keep on coming to church because you're encouraging others as as you think that, well, I'm not encouraging anybody, you are encouraging people. Stay there and do the work of God. Now, I want us to see something very quickly. I want us to see the ministry of her was something that was something that was invaluable, that there was no way they could have won the battle without her and Aaron. There was no way they could have won the battle without the soldiers. There was no way they could have won the battle without Moses. They all had to come in, unify, ask God to help them. And guess what God did? They won the battle because they all worked together. I've heard a lot of people preach this passage and they always single out one person. But the Lord, while I was reading this, the Lord said, you know what? Joshua's service was no bigger than her service. And her service was no smaller than Joshua's service. Moses was the man of God. He was lifting up the banner. His service was no smaller than anybody's. We all work together. There's a different authorities. Y'all understand that. The pastor is the authority. But we all come together as one to do the work of God. Now, there are some people, I want you to think about this, as they were lifting up the hands of Moses, Aaron on this side, her on this side. Now, imagine being around somebody for, I don't know how many weeks they were out there wandering around. I doubt they had showers out there. Very, 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 I highly doubt that. I doubt that they had, you know, soap or deodorant. They probably didn't go down to the Walgreens or the Walmart or wherever you go to buy deodorant. They probably didn't have that there. And guess what her's job was right next to? He was lifting up the hands and he was holding someone that hasn't taken a bath in a long time. It's funny, but there's a lot of jobs in the house of God that are not the most glamorous jobs. There's a lot of jobs that cleaning the bathrooms, doing the nursery, doing children's church, doing everything else. You say, well, this is not a glamorous job when you have to deal with kids and you have to deal with all the things that comes along with that. But can I tell you, we're all working together. And if you're faithful in your part, and he's faithful in his part, and they're faithful in their part, guess what God is going to do? He is going to use this place to do a great and mighty work. Everybody that vacuums these floors, that have cleaned up around here, that do the job that a lot of people might not want to do and might not be the greatest, you might not get a thank you. I never see where Hearst got a pat on the back and said, good job. You did an awesome job holding up that hand. I never saw that. I never saw where Aaron, they said, good job, you just did awesome. They said, Moses, you did a good job. Joshua, you did a good job. But it's the people that have been forgotten are the ones that carry a church. Now, here's the thing. We've been raised in this camp meeting generation where you have to have some kind of great service or do this or do that to be great for God. Can I tell you, some of the greatest people, Brother Jerry, that ever put on shoe leather are not preachers. They're not people that have preached and thousands got saved. There are people that are sitting in this room, Brother Derek, that are more godly, that can get a hold of God than anybody else. They never preached a message. They never sung a song. They never did teach a Sunday school lesson, but they've been lifting up the hands of people and their pastor. And can I tell you, you are important to God. Great is your reward in heaven because you were faithful to do what God wanted you to do. We have this philosophy sometimes. I've seen this in younger generation, my generation of preachers, that we go from this great service to this great service. And then when we get tired over here, we go to this great service. And then we get depressed over here, and then we go back over here to this great service. But can I tell you, a Christian life is not that way. A Christian life is not just on a spiritual high, and then the next day you're on a spiritual low. I am seeking, Brother Mike, to get mature where I stay, there are going to be days that you get sad. There are going to be days that you have on a mountaintop. But can I tell you, there's some people that 6 months, they go to church and they're the greatest thing that's ever been, walked on shoe leather, and they come every Sunday, every time, and then in 6 months, they just don't come. You know those people? They come and then they don't come. Then they come and they don't come. Can I tell you, thankful that, can I say this very, very nicely? I'm done. Can I say this very nicely? You don't think this wrong? You can't grow a church on people like that. You've got to have people that are faithful, that are running the race, that are faithful to do what God wants them to do. And God will bless it. Your job might not seem popular, but it's important to God. Let's all stand, every head's bowed, every eye's closed. They're coming to get us on. Nobody looking around. I want us to ask one question. I want to ask you this question. Maybe two questions. I want to ask you this one question. I want us to ask us this. I wonder how many of y'all, some of us are older, some of us are middle-aged, some of us are younger. But I want to talk to the young people just for a second. Younger people, I want you, if you're under 25, under 30, I want you to listen to me very quickly. If you want a church for your kids and for my kids and for their grandkids, guess what's going to have to happen? You're going to have to get faithful to the things of God. This is what I would do this morning if I was concerned about serving God. I'd hit this altar so fast and say, Lord, I want to be faithful like her, even if it's a ministry that I don't want to do. Would we have some people just say, hey, I want to do that? Some people are already praying. Y'all want to come? We need y'all to come, because here's the thing. We got to have a church in 20 years. We got to have a church in 30 years. We got to have some people say, hey, I want to do something for God. I want to do something for him. I encourage you to get on this altar. There are older people, middle-aged people. Let's get around this altar and let's pray and say, God, help me to be faithful. Help me to have these ministries that I can serve you to my fullest. And let's ask God to do something great and mighty in this day. How many of us would raise your hand and say, Brother McCully, I want to be that person that is serving God to my best ability. Would you raise your hand? Hands all over this building. I believe everybody has that heart. Let's all get on this altar and let's ask God to help us to have these ministries that we can do something for God. Would you come? They're singing, would you come?
Father, we do want to thank you again, Lord, for the day in which you blessed us with. Thank you, Father, for your many opportunities and your many blessings that you bestowed upon us. Thank you, Father, for the good preaching of your word, Lord. We thank you, Father. Pray, God, that we just use it, Lord God, to encourage our hearts, Lord God, to help us, Lord, to know that we all have a place. We all have something that we can do for your honor and for your glory to point souls unto thee. I pray, God, that you just bless us, Lord, today. Give us a good rest. Bring everybody back tonight safely, dear God. Bless the man of God as he breaks forth the word. And, Lord God, use it for your honor and glory. And we'll bless you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.